we say to America is be true to what you said on paper.
I'm not gonna spend my life being a color.
Tell me you agree with me when I saw you kicking dirt in my eye.
It's Race Across America, 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
And thanks for joining us. I'm Paul White, and welcome to Race Across America. If you're concerned about America's race situation, this is the most honest discussion you'll hear anywhere. Everyone's held accountable. No one gets a free pass. We welcome call-ins at 775-884-9910. Well, how was this week regarding race issues across America? Unfortunately, more of the same reverse racism insanity that's become the norm for far too long. Thankfully, a growing number of reasonable voices, black and white, are speaking out against it, but much more involvement is needed if things are going to improve. There's good news in education. President Trump has promised he's going to defund any public schools that use the 1619 Project curriculum. It's a distorted, false, revisionist theory about race that uses the classroom to radicalize students into protests, hate, and bigotry. It's no different than the method that was used by the Soviet Union and is now being used by Communist China to brainwash their children. This has been going on in public schools for quite a few years, I might add. A good quote this week from Candace Owens, a black podcaster, conservative. She says, "The white guilt about slavery is what is preventing blacks from maturing regarding this whole issue of race. There's a need to stop apologizing and look at the facts." That's exactly what we're going to do today. It's a real special show. The interracial violent crime statistics by the DOJ bear this out. Regarding interracial crime, except for murder, 90% of the interracial crime is blacks attacking whites. 10% is vice versa. In recent months, this has been borne out by video after video after video of vulgar, abusive rants of blacks towards whites, threatening them in their homes, beatings of individual white people by groups of black males across the nation, getting pulled out of a store, pulled out of their car, sucker punched on the sidewalk. It just goes on and on. And yet, this week when Vice President wannabe Kamala Harris visited the Jacob Blake family, well, first of all, meeting with the dad, who's got a long history of calling whites racial slurs as well as Jews. And then the son, of course, Jacob, who was shot by the police in Kenosha, had outstanding warrant on 3 felony counts of sexual assault. Fought with the cop, punched him, had a weapon, was going to the car, presumably to get another one. What was Kamala Harris's comment to Jacob Blake? She said, "I'm proud of you." What's going on with this? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. It's a lack of facts. Because for good people of all colors, how sick are you of hearing whites being blamed for black failure, being blamed for the systemic racism that, interestingly enough, no one can give one example of? Our show today is going to look at the facts. We're going to focus on the causes of what's turning into America's ongoing race war and how to solve it. All you hear about in the news are the effects. I don't have a job. I don't have a place to live. I'm not making enough money. My health care is no good. These are effects. What are the causes? We're going to talk about them. Today you'll hear about the real causes and how to fix them. So what's at the heart of the current race arguments and violence in the U.S.? Well, for starters, we have to stop hiding behind the excuse that our race problems are about, quote, all people of color. That's just an excuse. It's used by black racists and their white liberal supporters. It's not true. Asians and Latinos, the other people of color, are growing more successful annually at the same time as the blacks are whining about their lack of progress and falling further behind. Asians, in fact, outperform whites in virtually every category. If we want to solve the race problem, we've got to call it what it is. It's a long unsolved issue between blacks and whites. Black Americans, and I'm speaking generally because there's many exceptions, not since civil rights have they ever been able to collectively catch up with all other races in pretty much any category you want to name. And I'm going to explain why this is. What are the underlying causes? And we're going to do it in three parts. First, with each cause, we're going to talk about how bad actually is the gap between how blacks are doing versus the rest of America. Well, I'll tell you, it's far worse than you usually hear about. But before you can solve a problem, you have to have an accurate starting point, and this will be it. So you're going to hear a lot of statistics. And we hope you don't say, oh, you know, they distort statistics. Well, everybody who never improves, that's what they say also. So if you want to improve your situation, you listen to reliable statistics. And the ones I'm using today all come from impeccable sources: Center for Disease Control, FBI, Department of Justice, Department of Education, the Department of Human Resources, and reliable foundations like the Pew Charitable Trust and the Brookings and Manhattan Institutes. So first we'll look at how bad actually is the gap. Then we'll look at what's causing the problem. And then finally, for each one, we'll look at what can be done right now to solve it. Because fixing the cause of the problem between blacks and whites in America, the problem that blacks are having falling so far behind every group, it needs to be everybody's concern. All races, parents, schools, ministers, politicians, and especially black people who see this and have worked past this. There are 38 million black people in the United States. They represent 13%, or about 1/7, of our total population overall. And the facts don't lie. The majority of those 38 million's lives are in chaos. And they're struggling to hang on. But people who want to help solve these problems, they need the right kind of concern. The kind that doesn't repeat the lie that blacks are struggling because of systemic racism or racist cops or white privilege. We need the kind of concern and help that tells black America the truth. And what is the truth? You have to face up to what you are doing that's perpetuating your falling farther and farther behind every other racial group in the U.S. Black America's unwillingness to address these causative issues, well, it's destroying not just their race, but the entire country. And all the white liberals and people who don't want to deal with the truth of any kind are not making it any better by being ignorant of the facts or by apologizing for them. So let's get to the first issue that's causing the disparity in black achievement compared to every other race, and that is rates for out-of-wedlock births and abortion rate. Now, you hear occasional mention of out-of-wedlock births, but they don't take it seriously, so people understand. Correcting this is, it's not just, oh yeah, that's an issue. It's the issue. Out of wedlock refers to a woman who's not married to the father of the child, having the child living apart from him. Asians, the rate of out of wedlock births is 12%. Whites, 28%. Latinos, 51%. Blacks, almost 75%. Well, except for Asians, all of the out of wedlock numbers are bad. But the black figure on this is so far beyond the others, that's what's causing the falling behind, and I'll explain exactly why. 3 out of every 4 black children are growing up without any dad or reliable father figure in the home. So you say, well, it's an issue, not the big deal. Well, listen to what every survey they've got says are the impact of out-of-wedlock births. On a child born in an out-of-wedlock home, on the average, it lowers the health of newborns, lowers educational achievement, lowers employability, increases behavior problems, and lowers impulse control, warps social development, and increases the community crime. Now, think back on the behavior you're seeing on the news every night and hearing about in the schools. Look at the connection. Less educational achievement, less employability, there's the poverty, increased behavior problems, there's the incarceration rate, lowers impulse control, that explains why they can't deal with a police officer without getting shot, warps social development, increases crime. Look at the connection. This is a huge, big deal. Addressing it properly, it changed the entire picture of racial inharmony in America. And it's not coming from historical slavery. It's not coming from white privilege. It's coming from absolutely horrible moral values and parenting. Now, the companion statistic to out-of-wedlock births is abortion rates. The abortion rate among blacks is the highest by far among any other race. 39% of all abortions are black babies. 3 times they're part of the population. A black baby's 5 times more likely to be aborted than a white child. 20 million black babies have been aborted. 20 million since Roe v. Wade made abortion legal in 1973. There were 360,000 black abortions last year. In New York City, there were more black babies aborted than were born. It's the leading cause of death by far in the black community. Abortion is the leading cause of death to blacks. But you see, black lives obviously don't matter to the organization or to anybody who supports the BLM organization. Why aren't LeBron James, Al Sharpton, Oprah, Michelle Obama, Colin Kaepernick, Kamala Harris, all the NFL and NBA, etc., speaking out about this inequality, this murderous statistic? They fixate on a Jacob Blake who had 3 sexual assaults and was fighting the police. They fixate on a Breonna Taylor who was connected with a drug dealer for years. And they ignore abortion and out-of-wedlock rates. They're not caused by white privilege. They're not caused by systemic racism. These out-of-wedlock and abortion rates in the black community are nothing but a callous disregard for human life. And the question is, why isn't every minister of every race preaching about this every week? And schools, where are the protest marches for this? Black Lives Matter? Give me a break. They don't mention, they don't care about either issue. But okay, as we promised, how do we solve then the out-of-wedlock and the attendant abortion problem? Well, for starters, the NBA and NFL athletes are certainly not going to be able to help, because there's an estimated 60% of these young men that have multiple babies with multiple women they're not married to. It's a long-established wink, isn't it great? On television, they'll talk to a black player about, oh, happy Father's Day, you have 5 kids, and he's a single man and he has them with 5 different women. why the record in NFL, NBA is 14 children with 9 different women. Here's the bad part. How many black parents are telling their kid that one of these guys in the NFL or NBA, that this is how we want you to grow up. You be a good, successful one. You, this, let this be your role model. Where's the NBA president? Where's LeBron James, Doc Rivers, all the others that cry and complain about this horrible injustice being done to blacks, which is holding them back? Where are they speaking up on the real issue that's holding them back? What's the solution? It's the churches. Why one of Christianity's strongest teachings is against sex outside of marriage. Blacks attend church 25% more each week than any other race. So they're there. They're hearing it, pastors. But your message is obviously not getting through about the teaching in regard to out-of-wedlock sex. And again, I repeat, all races deal with these issues. Any statistic for abortion or out-of-wedlock is not good. But the reason the blacks are at the back of the line on accomplishing things, generally speaking, is because the problem is so much more out of control there. Now, cause number two, and it is never talked about, and every parent considers themselves a great parent, of course. Second cause it's causing the race problems in America is the parenting style of most black parents. Statistics are inarguable. The majority of black parents are doing a horrible job and nobody's saying anything about it. Listen to the facts. You decide. We won't argue about it. Under a parenting style, black kids spend more than half of their waking day on social media. More than half of their waking day playing on the phone, video, etc. 4 hours per day more than whites. They watch black kids watch twice as much television per day, and they're read to half as much. Well, what's the big deal? Nothing if you don't care how they do when they get to school, which we'll be dealing with. Black parents spank their children twice the rate of whites. And you'd say, oh, look at that. They really care about discipline. Boy, they're going to whip them. They're not going to put up with any nonsense. No, actually, they spank them way more. And every study they have says it makes a child simply more aggressive and have an increased rate of mental health disorders. Spanking excessively is just lazy discipline. Good discipline. Yeah, there's a need for spanking once in a while. There's a need for physically popping a child once in a while in an appropriate way. But to the degree that it's done, no. No, and it doesn't work. What's the impact? Well, with all the media time, less homework, less preparation for later education success, inappropriate conversations with the opposite sex, and on gangs, drugs, less physical activities, more likely to be aggressive. There should be no black parent of thugs in the news complaining about the racism and the bad cops and anything. If you had your child out of wedlock and did nothing with them, well, you don't wait until you've had children with a dad, let the kids fall apart, horribly parent them, dump them on society and the schools, uneducated with no self-control or respect for the law, and then blame white racism for your black children that are breaking the law and lagging far behind everyone else in education and employment? How do we fix this? Not that difficult, really. It would make a huge difference. The problem first has to be acknowledged that too much media time and too harsh a discipline, the wrong kind, is not working. We need to make better parenting a national priority, having classes in churches and everywhere else, and all parents need to be in them, all colors. But black parents need to be in the front row based on the stats that are not just close to anybody else's. They're far, far worse. And you need to be willing to take responsibility for what's going on. And again, how many black parents have raised great kids? Tons. Ask any one of them how they did it, and they'll absolutely, I guarantee you, they didn't let their kids sit half the day on social media. I guarantee you they weren't whipping them. In my experience as an educator, I had parents beating kids with limbs they'd pulled off trees, beating them with 50-foot extension cords, ridiculous stuff. No good parent of any kind or color does this. But it's happening too much in the black community, and that's exactly what causes this fallout that we see later. School and education. Oh boy, this is the third cause. Remember, these can't be systemic racist problems, especially with our schools, because there's too many black exceptions of success. So school, you got to look at it two ways. What are the kids learning? How are they behaving? Well, let's start with kindergarten. Between a friend of mine and myself, we had 50 years of experience in enrolling and working with kids of all colors and primarily minority kids and plenty of black children. And he taught kindergarten, first, second grade. I taught third through 12th, then adults, for like I say, a quarter century, half century between us. Well, what did you see? I'll tell you what you saw starting in kindergarten. The average black child he'd get in kindergarten would come in there off the hook. They couldn't sit still. They couldn't listen. They couldn't keep their hands to themselves. And they didn't come in with any kind of prior learning, teaching about appropriate behavior or focus on your work or even the little skills at that age. And so right off the bat, the kid was in the bucket. The kid was behind everybody else. And all the teacher's time was spent. The kid was down to the principal's office, being talked to, parent being called there. We're not talking about one or two incidents. We're talking about dozens and dozens and dozens over 25 years. I saw the same thing. I saw the same thing. I saw when you'd see a black child who'd been parented well, boom, they were an all-star. But most of them were not, because most of them were not being parented well. So, the schools check this out, and they test them in English, math, and literacy in fourth and eighth grade to see how they're doing. How literate are they? Well, when we come back from break, I'll let you know. We want to hear from you. 884-9910, area code 775-884-9910. We'd like to hear back from you. This is Race Across America. I'm Paul White. You can also email us. Our website is raceacrossamerica20.com. Email at raceacrossamerica20@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. Back after break.
The talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out.
884-9910. And welcome back to Race Across America. I'm your host, Paul White. We've got a great show going today. What we're talking about is the real causes of the race problems going on in America. And it's, surprise, it's not systemic racism. It's not white privilege. It's not this history baggage of the Civil War era and before. It's three things, and we're on the third thing right now. The first was the out-of-wedlock and abortion rates that are outrageous in the black community, worse by far than any other race. Second was the parenting, which, again, is worse by far than any race, and that's statistically. And we're on the third one, schools. So once a child's come to school, poorly parented and totally unprepared for school, well, how do they do? Well, by fourth grade, when they first test them, about 37% of white students, Latino, Asian, about 37% are considered at grade level. In other words, two-thirds of them are not. Well, that's one reason America ranks about 40th worst in the developed world for our public education system. But with black students, 15% 15% are considered grade level, and 85% by fourth grade of all black kids are functionally illiterate. And it only gets worse as they get older. I recently, Baltimore public schools with very high, close to exclusive almost, black population. Out of 39 high schools, they had 13 of them. 13, one-third of their high schools didn't have a single student who was functionally literate in math. And this is what's going on. So what happens in high school? Well, again, this is academically how are blacks doing in education and why this is a problem. Well, the high school graduation rates are manipulated by the districts because they don't want to tell the truth. When the federal test score, the nationally proctored ACT scores are done, only 3 to a high of 15% of black grads have the skills to pass minimal college classes, as opposed to about a 2.5 times that rate for whites, Asians, and Latinos. What's gone on? Well, through high school, when that functional illiteracy set in elementary, that's what sets up the discipline problems that interfere with the learning. Because when a student can't do the work and they just keep pushing you through, they never retain anybody anymore. They care more about looking racially, politically correct than telling the truth to the parent. So what do these kids do in class? These black kids, they push through. And again, too many of all kinds, but believe me, it's primarily black. So you sleep, you play, you fight, you cut classes. You play your way through high school, and the cowardly and ignorant school leaders who don't care enough about our black children to tell the truth, let them do it. And the cowardly teachers don't fight it, and it sets the stage for them going on to get worthless college majors like cultural studies or communications, especially cultural studies, or no college at all. More unemployment, more crime, more victimology, that's what we hear about at the output end. That's what all the protesters are screaming about in Black Lives Matter, when in fact the screaming and protesting should be about who on earth parented these kids? What on earth was wrong with our public schools that they didn't care enough to tell somebody that these children were learning nothing and the reason why? Now, what are the reasons? What are the excuses the schools give for why this great learning disparity? Well, irrelevant curriculum, they've said this over the years. I've seen every one of these. Well, the curriculum's irrelevant to black students. They have special cultural differences. They need what's known as an Afrocentric curriculum. Forget about what happened in Europe. Our schools need more money. Our black schools are all poor. No, not true. They usually have more money than regular schools. When I principaled about a half-black school in a large city in California, my school got more money than the average school in the suburbs because we got federal funding because we had so many kids low-income and low-performing. Well, the excuse, they need more black teachers, counselors, principals, superintendents, so they'll really understand the kids. Yeah, they tried that. Well, we need more segregation. Black kids will learn better if you put them all in with black kids. Well, then it swung back the other way. No, we need less segregation. They need to be put in with the other kids of other colors who are doing well. They tried that. Well, we need different instructional methods. Then the real dangerous one. Well, we need standards are too high, so they lowered them for black students for passing, put them in meaningless classes that taught them nothing. Just enabled the schools to collect money on them. Well, we need to give the kids two sets of school books because at home, the kids who don't like school take their school books so they can't do homework. Well, they're hungry. That's why black kids are underperforming. You need to feed them free breakfast, lunch, and snacks. Well, they're obviously not hungry because black childhood obesity is higher than any other race. They need free bus passes. Did it. Need commuter vans to pick them up at their house in the morning. Tried it. We'll pay them cash or merchandise rewards if they get an A on a test. They did it. You used to be able to get an iPhone for passing a test. They need extra tutoring. Black mentors. Ad nauseum. Everything on this list I listed has been tried. And it's failed, with the exception of one thing. Getting the parents of the black kids, and all the kids, but the black kids need it the most. They're doing the worst. Get the parents to do their jobs. Make the kids do their homework at home and do their work at school and behave just like any good parent of any color of child makes their child behave. Oh, now we come to the one that leads to everything you see on the news. All the guys being shot, the prison rates, the prison industrial complex, all these excuses. And that's the behavior disparity in schools. Now, black kids are suspended, expelled about four times, disproportionate to their part of the population in school. And with good reason. As I had a parent come in when I was a principal at a black school, mostly black school once, and said, "Why are you suspending so many black kids?" And I told the parent, it was a grandmother raising the child, of course, the dad and mom were long gone. I said, "You're asking the wrong question. Why are the black kids breaking the rules and misbehaving so much disproportionately more than any others?" Well, here's the excuses for black kids' misbehavior in school. The white teachers and administrators are racist and don't like black children, or they're afraid of them, or they punish them unfairly. They don't understand black children's unique behavior. Black students like being suspended. It's not a punishment. Well, they only like it because the parents, whoever's caring for them, lets them get away with it when they come home. So they got restorative discipline now. That means when the teacher tells Johnny to put his phone away, that Johnny can curse the teacher up and down or threaten her. She sends him to the principal's office. He doesn't get suspended. After school, the teacher has to go sit down with the principal, the parent, and the child. And the first question asked of the teacher is, "Tell me, Mr. White, what did you do that made Johnny feel like he had to curse you?" You can imagine how this is working. And I'll compare for you, because I've seen dozens and dozens of this. Typical parent responses by race when their child acts up in school. I'd get a child sent to my office as a principal. I'd call the parent. If the parent was a white, Asian, Latino, black parent, it all pretty much the same thing. "I'm sorry, you send him home, I'll take care of this. It won't happen again." Now, a couple days later, I never saw the Asian, typically, never saw the Asian, Latino, or white kid again on that. Black kid I'd typically see real soon. I'd call the parent again, going to send him home. Parent this time was a little less enthusiastic, puzzled. "You know, I don't understand, Mr. White. I dealt with this. But, you know, I'll talk to him again about it." Okay. And then a couple, 3 days later, the kid would be in my office again. This time I'd call the black parent, and this is 90% of the time what I heard. "Well, you know, I talked to my son, and he said the teacher doesn't like him, and he thinks picking on him, and he thinks they probably don't like black people." Right away, that parent couldn't have done more damage to that kid if the parent had hit him over the head with a baseball bat. He did the worst thing in the world he could do, and that made that child think that how he's treated has anything to do with the color of his skin. Not in 2020, not in the 21st century. And so what happens with this is then the child's off and running, and it just gets worse from there. All these things have been tried. All these excuses have been tried and are failing more every year. Except they're treating all students the same, and that's when you treat them all the same, they behave, they respect it, they like it. What did California just pass a law about? Making it to where you practically can't discipline black or disabled students because they've been disproportionately punished. Nobody says, let's stop the disproportionate amount of misbehavior. Let's just stop the disproportionate consequences. And when they say disabled, they're not talking about some child with a crippled leg or can't see or hear. They're talking about resource classes and special ed, which is just where they do a dump of the most difficult behavior and the kids are most farthest behind in learning, and they make up an excuse for it. And now they're going to let them do anything. And I'll tell you what, a parent who's got any child in public school anywhere needs to know what time it is. They're damaging their child by keeping them in there. I'm a career public educator. I know firsthand. Well, okay, then they finally get out of high school. They push them out, like we said, where about 3% of the black kids, up to 15%, would be capable of passing a college class. They send them off to college. Well, so now they don't just send them off to college. Let's send them to the Ivy League. Let's send them to the UC. Let's kind of wish and make it happen and say, I want my child to go there. Well, instead of the colleges saying, no, they're not in any way qualified on their SAT scores. Well, they don't want to give SAT scores anymore. No, that's prejudice. That's just proper evaluation. And so what they do is they let them in. Yale is currently being sued by Asian students for letting in 10 times the rate of black students did not qualify and not letting the Asians in who did. They dropped the admission requirements. Rutgers University, Rutgers, Ivy League, they're going to just kind of do away with their grammar standards for black students. They believe it's racist to expect a black student to be able to write or speak proper English. Even into law school, California is not only lowering the bar exam, they're being pressured by Black Lives Matter to get rid of it altogether. You don't need to pass an exam. Just go sit in a class and be passed through it because they don't have the guts to stand up to you and say, well, you may be black, but you're not learning the subject matter. About 52%, 40%, 39%, Asians, whites, Latinos pass the bar exam in California. 5% of blacks. What a great opportunity to go back and address these causative problems at the K-12 level, to address them at the parenting level. Now, what do? We're going to get rid of the bar exam, so we'll just have the least qualified lawyers on earth. And what does that do? How does that help some? It should be humiliating to say that black students aren't capable of competing with everybody else, but they don't. These colleges are just simply fighting for money and numbers, and they'll, again, kneel and ask, please forgive me for 1865, instead of saying, hey, you need to show up in class, do your homework, get extra help if you need it. Stick with it. You can do it. Frederick Douglass, who was a slave, got an unbelievable education, went on and did great things. Countless black men and women since him. They didn't do it by having the bar lowered. It's called the soft bigotry of low expectations. Then they get to college. So we put them in college. Well, how does that help the black kids? Average graduation rate for white, Latino, Asian kids is around 60%. Black graduation rate is less than half of that. Well, how's that affect them? They come out of college with high-dollar loans they often default on, ruining their credit, which makes it hard to go buy the house, right? No redlining anymore, but bad credit certainly gets you turned down for a loan. Here you come out of college again with the worthless major of cultural studies or communications and no jobs. Well, how about the historically black colleges and universities, HBCU you hear about? There's about 100 of them. And they take all black students mostly. 5 out of those 100 schools have an average graduation rate of most college, 5 of them. The other 95, the graduation rate runs from half of the norm, about 30%, down to 15%. So see, going to a school just where everybody was black, that makes no difference. You need to have accountability. And where did we ever get the idea that we don't care enough about our black children, about our black parents, about our black college students, that we won't tell them the truth and say, you can't act this way? You got to work hard and you got to compete. Say, every other race is doing it, you can too. We get to a tough one. So here's your three causes: the wedlock abortion rate, parenting, poor parenting, and school. Now, all the rest of the disparities you hear about from in society come from there. Buckle your seatbelt. How about this rate of sexually transmitted diseases and HIV/AIDS? The rate of blacks for STDs and HIV/AIDS ranges from 4 to 10 times greater than any other race. Compared to Asians, it's about 18 times greater. According to the Center for Disease Control, who's put out this survey yearly report, almost 50% of black women and over 40% of black men have genital herpes or some other STD. Almost half of black men and women have STDs. What's going on? This isn't becoming a national crisis, and we're talking about it and digging into it and saying, what can we do? It's ignored. Go online and see if I'm telling the truth. So what did the history of slavery, white privilege, and police brutality, how did it cause this sexual promiscuity epidemic? It's not a race issue. It's about flawed morals and values. And if you don't think this is primarily a black issue, read some of Beyoncé's lyrics on Lemonade. Look at the trailer about the child porn film called Cuties about little black children on Netflix. People who made that should have been arrested. Check out the Cardi B WAP video that's been talked about so much. Or it's gone another generation already. Go look up the lyrics for any of the songs from the teenage black rapper called PP Cocaine and half a dozen others just like him. They're explicit, they're gross. They kind of glorify this idea of laying around, sex with everybody. Where do you think the STDs and these rates come from? Black entertainers are spewing promiscuity. And yes, whites and Latinos are not Sunday school children either. But the preponderance of this is by a race that's being destroyed by it. Why would we glorify it? Where's the fear of black politicians, preachers, athletes to address the real issue instead of sitting there whining about what the white people are doing to me? How long has black America, supported by liberal, idiotic white America, going to accept this morally rotten character decline? It hits the money, too. Net worth for a black family of 4, 10 times less than the whites. Racism? Or how about poor parenting, no education, no respect for the law? Murder rate. Blacks are commit murders 10 times that of whites. Then why are we surprised that the incarceration rate for blacks is 4 to 5 times greater than whites? Is it because the industrial prison complex is just out to make money and lock up black men? No. It's just the end of the line after they've been raised, schooled, and ignored by anybody who should have stepped right up to them and made them do the right thing as children. And they wanted to do the right thing just as much as any kid. And they didn't. And so then they get here, and here's prison and end of the line. And of course, unsurprisingly, the life expectancy for blacks is the lowest of any race also. Well, so what would happen if the parenting and schooling and moral shortcomings were addressed with black children? Things would improve immediately. And the biggest problem right now is just America getting misled by the Black Lives Matter organization. And the 90% of blacks and the 65% of whites who support this group that is anti-white, anti-cop, anti-America, anti-men in the black fathers in the home, idolize a fugitive cop killer, form their organization on the totally false account of 2 killed thugs, get rid of the police, the penal system, let immigration open the borders. America, we've got to wake up. We've got to absolutely wake up to this. Well, there is one rate in which blacks are on top. They're higher than any other race group, and that is in self-esteem. And if that doesn't make your head blow off your shoulders, nothing does. In the face of all these horrible statistics getting worse, when they interview black children, how do you think you're doing? Oh, I'm doing great. And I don't fault them one bit, because they've been lied to repeatedly by parents who didn't know any better, churches that wouldn't speak up, politicians that pander to them to get their votes. So where's the motivation for them to change when they've been told how great they're doing? The situation in America is serious. It can change. It totally needs to change. And this show is dedicated to changing that. But this show is also off the air as of today until we can find a way to support it. If you feel that anything you've heard today or on other shows is something that needs to be talked about, is something you don't hear anywhere else, is something that would improve this situation between whites and blacks in America and all races, then we'd like to hear from you. We need your support. Otherwise, we go silent. We'd finish today. A couple of quotes. Malcolm X said, after he came back from Mecca, had that wonderful conversion that it was not about skin color at all. He said, I'm for truth, no matter who tells it. I'm for justice, no matter who it's for or against. A black gentleman calls himself Joel Patrick, the legendary black redneck. He says, I stand with black people, but not BLM. I stand with white people, but not the KKK. God only made one race, the human race, and I'll never be so ignorant as to judge someone by the color of skin God gave them. We'll close out with Martin Luther King's, my favorite is. He said, the final battle's not going to be black over white or white over black. It's going to be truth over error, good over evil, light over darkness. And anybody out there that really cares, you need to stand up for good, for truth, for light. Tell the truth. Love your neighbor. Don't pay any attention to what color they are. Tell them the truth and help them. Again, if you want to see us stay on the air, we need to hear from you. We've loved having you for an audience. We look forward to more, but that's in your hands. This is Paul White with Race Across America saying thank you for listening, and we hope to be back soon.